Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak.
Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Let's lift our praise to the everlasting God.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. As we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint. Upon wings like eagles. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong
Lord, you call us to rejoice and be glad in it, Lord Jesus. Help us not only to look to you, but to hear from you and to receive from you that which is pleasing in your sight. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Now receive from the Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's turn to one another and welcome each other this morning.
stars. I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul.
In Psalm 46, God says, "Be still and know that I am God." That's our prayer this morning, that we can be still. Still from the distractions of the past week, still from the anxiousness of the coming week, still to know He is God. Be still, my soul.
Still my soul. is hastening on, when we shall be forever with the Lord, when disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past, all safe and blessed we shall meet at last. In you I rest, in you I found my hope, in you I trust, you never let me go. I place my life within your hands alone. Still my soul.
Well, if we are following the church calendar, we are still in the season of Easter, and soon celebrating the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our responsive reading this morning, taken from the Heidelberg Catechism, questions 46 to 47, 49 to 52, relates to that ascension. Christ, while his disciples watched, was lifted up from the earth to heaven. He will be there for our good until he comes again to judge the living and the dead. Christ is truly human and truly God. In his human nature, Christ is now on earth. But in his divinity, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is not absent from us for a moment. Christ pleads our cause in heaven in the presence of his Father. We have our own flesh in heaven. A guarantee that Christ, our head, will take us, his members, to himself in heaven. Christ sends his Spirit to us on earth as a further guarantee. By the Spirit's power, we make the goal of our lives not earthly things, but the things above, where Christ is seated at God's right hand. Christ is seated at the right hand of God to show that he is the head of his church, and that the Father rules all things through him. Through his Holy Spirit, he pours out his gifts from heaven, his members. And by his power, he defends us and keeps us safe from all his enemies. In our distress and persecutions, we turn our eyes to heaven and confidently await as judge the very one who has already stood trial in our place before God, and so has removed the whole curse from us. All his enemies and ours, everlasting punishment. But all his chosen ones he will take along with him into the joy and glory of heaven. With this in mind, these truths as adapted from the Heidelberg Catechism, let's bow our head and pray a confession of sin. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the reality that you have risen from the grave. You made yourself known to many witnesses. You ascended to heaven and are now seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. We thank you, Jesus, for your prayers for us, your people. And Jesus, we come before you as those who acknowledge our sin, who acknowledge the forgiveness of our sins, the price that you paid, and who acknowledge our current battle against sin. Lord, we come before you as those who are guilty yet forgiven, who struggle against the flesh to pursue the way of the Spirit. We thank you for your complete forgiveness, Lord, but we do confess our sins to you, and we now take a moment to silently do that. Jesus, we thank you that in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray this in your name. The psalmist in Psalm 25 reminds us to be mindful of the mercy of God and of his steadfast love, for they have been from old. The psalmist says, "Do not remember the sins of my youth or the transgressions according to your steadfast love. Remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in his way. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and bring me out of distress. Consider my afflictions and trouble and forgive all my sins." And after the assurance of pardon, if you're not following the flag for the kids, head that way. If anybody else wants to come forward, if you have something else you'd like to share, do that as well. But receive this assurance of pardon from Romans 8 and 2 Corinthians 5. Hear the good news. Who is in the position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace. Thanks be to God. This morning, we'll be looking at Psalm 107. Taking a few weeks here to go through a few psalms. And then in a couple weeks, when we return from our vacation, we're going to begin a series on the Ten Commandments, looking at each one individually, beginning with a preamble. But for now, this week and next, we are going to look at a few psalms. This week, Psalm 107. This psalm, if you were to say that it's about one thing, it's about being thankful people. Being thankful to God in response to what he has done and is doing and will yet do in the life of his people. It's about how we respond to the reality of who he is, who he's made us, and who he's calling us to be. How do we live out that thankfulness in response to the reality of the God that we serve? The story is told, Chinese officials from the Public Security Bureau invaded a Sunday school room at a church a few years back. They found children huddled inside this Sunday school room, and they put them into a van, and they drove them down to their station. It was a scary situation. Kids were scared. The author that wrote the story said that in their fear, they began to sing. And in a few moments, the whole van was filled with songs of these children as they were headed down to the security bureau. Upon arriving at the station, the children marched bravely into the interrogation room. They were still singing to Jesus. The Chinese officer attempted to force the children to write statements, "I do not believe in Jesus," telling them that they need to renounce what they're learning in that Sunday school room. The kids continued to sing, "We believe in Jesus. We believe in Jesus. We believe in him today. We believe in him tomorrow. We believe in him forever." These little kids raising their voice in trust to Jesus. The officials were tired and they called in the parents. They're like, "Come get your kids. This is what's happened. They were meeting illegally. You know that. You're the parents. Come get your kids. But before you can pick up your kids, you got to sign this statement. You will not train them in the ways of Jesus." Some parents signed it. Some parents renounced their faith to get their kids back. But one mother wouldn't do it. "I will not sign this statement," she said. And the officer said, "Well, then we can't give you your child." And she said, "Well, fine. Then you got to deal with them." Right? The officer gave her child. That's not the point of the story. The point is, what do we do in trouble, right? What do we do when we face trial and trouble and hardship? How do we respond? What's our reaction? What's our built-in response to God, right, as believers? So what we have here in this psalm, it's a psalm of thanksgiving from the people of God who had been exiled. They'd been taken away from the land that was promised to them. And in this psalm, they cry out to God, and we see God answering their prayers. We see God delivering them, rescuing them, teaching them to trust God in good times and bad. Let's go to that psalm, Psalm 107. If you have your Bibles open, turn to Psalm 107. If you don't, just listen to these words. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from the east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near to the gates of death. And they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Others went out on the high sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea he hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to God, to the Lord, for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt waste. Because of the wickedness of those who live there, he turned the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live. And they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased. He did not let their herds diminish. Then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in trackless waste. But he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of God. Let's pray. Jesus, we know this psalm is not about us, but in one sense it is about us. You've left it for us. In our trial, in our distress, life in a fallen world. Help us to see your good works that we might give thanks and live in light of your ways. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Have you ever been in a place where you found yourself crying out to God for help? I mean, we've all been there at one point or another. And if you haven't, you will be. And it looks different for different people. It does. I mean, maybe it's the diagnosis of cancer. Maybe it's a financial situation. Maybe it's the loss of a job. And maybe it's just the battle against sin. But we've all been there in that place of crying out to God for help. Israel was there, exiled. And we see in this psalm the people of God responding in their calamity with cries out to God, right? And what did God do? Did God ignore them? Forget it. You've been too bad. You're out of here. Is that what God did? What we read in this psalm is that God heard them. And when he heard them, he delivered them. He rescued them. And then we see their response to God's deliverance, which is thankfulness, right? That is the response when we are delivered. We are thankful people. Now, the psalmist begins with that answer. Verses 1 to 3, he says, give thanks to the Lord, right? This is what we're to do. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And he's like, let me tell you about this. Let me tell you about this thanks that we give to God because his love endures forever. I have a story to tell you. And that's what he does in the rest of those verses that we read. He begins with the answer. God is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to him. A couple thoughts in relation to the psalm. It's a long psalm, so we can't divide every part of it. So we're going to just take a few chunks in these themes. The first chunk is this. The people of God, that includes you and I who have believed in Jesus, can call out to him because of what Christ has done, right? And God the Father hears us. So what's your story of crying out to God? I already, like, you know, I've been here long enough, I can look at faces and I know some of the stories already. I do. I know some of your stories, and some of them I don't. But what is your story of being in that situation of crying out to God? Maybe it's a family relationship. Maybe it's something that you've been through. Maybe it's something that you're in right now. Now, we live in a world where, in a nation, I should say more particularly, very individualistic, right? Just get it done yourself. Don't rely on anybody. If you can't do it, you're a failure. That's what we're told, right? Just do it. You don't need anybody else. But that's not how God set up the system. That's not what God has done in the church. He's added us to a body, right? To the body of Christ. We're not Christians alone. We are Christians together. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 14 to 20. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So part of God's answer in difficult times is knowing where we've been added. We've been added to the body of Christ, right? We're not in this alone. We don't deal with difficulties and challenges alone. It's not what our nation tells us to do, though. So we have a hard time asking for help. Pride often blocks the way from going to those that can help in times of need, right? But there comes moments in life where you have nothing and only a cry to God, right? Only dependence on his provision. Whether it be miraculous provision in the moment or the body of Christ in the long run, God hears our cries and delivers us. So in this psalm, we have Israel crying out. They were in a situation they could not fix on their own. And God was their only answer. And I think that's what God wanted them to see. That's what he wants us to see as well. We can depend on God. Consider the series of cries. In verses 4 to 6, we have some wandering in desert wastelands. And in verses 10 to 13, we have those that are sitting in prison in darkest gloom, we're told. Verses 17 to 19, we have those that are just rebelling against God and receiving the consequences for their rebellion. Verses 23 to 27, we have those on the sea in ships that are witnessing God's miraculous power in the face of storms, right? Trouble, 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 right? All different kinds of trouble and trial that we face as well in this life. What do we do? Well, we do what we're prepared to do. And if we're following the way of the world, we're prepared to try to handle it ourselves. But if we're following the ways of God, we go to Him as our provision. Consider the first group, verses 4 to 6, the wanderers. Just plain and simply, they were lost. They were wandering, right? I have an uncle, about 80 years old now, and Whitey's kind of got me thinking about this because of the events today. He was a sharpshooter on the bow, and he could shoot right into the center of a lifesaver. It was amazing. He's 80 years old, and he still climbs up in the tree stands and hunts every year. About 3 years back, they were up in Canada, and he was off on his own. His son went a different direction, and he was wandering through the woods, and he got lost. He didn't panic. He made a little fire, and he slept. He woke up the next day. Son found him, and they made it back just fine. But he was wandering, and he was lost. And he could have responded one of two ways, right? He could have panicked, get this done myself, or do what he knew how to do. What do we do when we're wandering and lost? How do we respond? Israel, they wandered for 40 years, right? Longing for the promised land. Here you have wanderers looking for a destination, these exiles, hoping for something more. Our culture just wanders as well, right? Maybe that big thing is right around the corner. I just have to get there. But culture following culture, just wandering aimlessly, going where the blind in front of them are leading. Here you have wanderers, hungry and exhausted. What do? They cry out to God for help. Verses 10 to 16, you have prisoners. I think you very literally have prisoners here, and even metaphorically. But you have literal prisoners who were in chains in their exile, in gloomy darkness, no hope for escape. They cry out to God. But we know prisons can exist in many forms, right? It doesn't have to be a physical prison. We know that life apart from God is imprisonment in our sins. Right? How do we become prisoners? Verse 11, it says, "For they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High." So here they are in that situation, and they have nothing left, no hope. The third group, marked by verses 17 and 19, are those afflicted. And these ones are afflicted not just by natural causes. Scripture says they're afflicted because of their rebellion against God. So we're not talking sickness that doesn't carry any blame. We're talking about sickness that is a result of disobedience. The final group, marked by verses 23 to 27, are those in the middle of the storm. Those on the sea, watching the tempest that God stirs up, right? Have you been in a storm? You really realize your humanity really quick, your tininess when you're in the midst of a storm. So that storm that came through, was it Thursday? I was just standing by the window just recording the wind, and then it picked up. My first thought was, maybe I should go downstairs, right? You realize real quick who you are in the midst of a storm. And so here you have people on a ship, no hope as the tempest tosses them. And they cry out to God. So our application is simple. What causes us to cry out to God? Right? Do we? Or do we think we have it all together in and of ourselves to handle this thing? God wants us to depend upon Him. If you haven't had that trial, you will. And when you're there, what are you going to do? What are you ready to do? Will we depend on God or not? And that brings me to my next thought this morning. The people of God can call out to God. We can, right? And what does God do? He delivers us. That's what He does. Stories told by a farmer. He had a dog who wandered and fell into his well. The farmer had no means to get the dog out of the well, and he had no use for the well, so he thought, I'm just going to bury the dog. So he grabs a shovel with the dog at the end of the well, and he just begins to scoop dirt on top of the dog. He thought it was the humane thing to do. Maybe it wasn't, but he started scooping dirt. The dog, scared at first with the dirt falling on its back, began to panic. But before you knew it, the dog realized that he had a situation here that was to his advantage. So each scoop of dirt that the farmer would throw in, the dog would shake it off his back and climb on top of the dirt. Next scoop of dirt, the farmer would drop it in the well, the dog would climb up higher. And on, the farmer went filling up the well until the dog hopped out. It's not what the farmer intended, it's not what the dog desired, but it worked to their advantage. When we're in the midst of adversity or trial, God shows up, and sometimes he shows up like dirt on our back, right? What is going on? How can this get worse? But really, God's working something different in our midst. We all have our stories to tell of what happened when God showed up. Israel had their stories to tell as well. In this psalm, again, you have those that are lost and wandering. You have those that are imprisoned. You have those that are in sickness and those that are in storms, right? And they're crying out to God, God, help us. I'm at the bottom of this well, and I don't know what to do. Look at those who are wandering. Look what happened. Look at verses 6 and 7. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle, right? How about the prisoners? Look at the prisoners, verses 13 and 14. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom, and he broke away their chains. Well, what about those that were just being rebellious and were sick because of their rebellion against God? Look at verses 19 to 20. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress, right? Same answer. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Verses 28 to 29, those that are in the storm. Look at those two verses. They cried out to God, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress again. He stilled the storm to a whisper, the waves of the sea, he hushed. This is the God we serve, right? He is not silent in the midst of crisis. He is not absent. His ears are not closed to you. In fact, a lot of times he allows these situations in our life so we will call out to him and see him as our answer, right? So we can learn to depend upon him. And part of what we learn in this life and our sanctification is depending upon God. It is, right? Not depending on ourselves. Not thinking that we have to have it all together. We don't. We serve the one who does, right? We serve Jesus who has it all together. No one here has it all together. Don't even pretend. We don't. That's not why we come to church. We come to church because Jesus has it together, and he has us. So when we're lost in the woods, at the bottom of a well maybe, imprisoned, afflicted, scared, know who you are in Christ that we might respond well. There are some here today who know exactly what I'm talking about, right? God has come as your peace when you did not have peace. He's come as your joy when you were in sorrow. He's come as your provision when you didn't think you were going to make it. But it's in that moment you see very clearly the presence and reality of God, right? And your faith is strengthened. So you have the exiles here. Those that were wandering, those that see that God answers prayer. And we have in this psalm God's immediate answers to their prayers, right? But one of the things we do struggle with as the church sometimes is wondering, why doesn't God answer us immediately, right? For some of you that are maybe in trial or have gone through it, you did not see your answer clearly, right? We know that God works in his own timing. And we do know that for each of us, that answer is coming. And God may wait for that answer in the new heavens and the new earth, right? We may have to wait till that time as well, but God will deliver. The time will come for each of us. This brings me to my last thought this morning. The people of God can call out to God, and we are thankful for his provision, right? That is the response. That's the point of this psalm. Who are the people of God to be in light of the reality of who God is? We're to be thankful people. That is our response to God. We celebrate a lot of holidays in our culture, but one of my favorites is and always will be Thanksgiving. And as a Christian, when we consider giving thanks, you know, all of our meals should be Thanksgiving meals to God. We have an outlet, we have a target, we have a direction of who we give thanks for. We don't give thanks to nothing for all the things we have. We give thanks to God for his provision. We do, right? No matter what history revisionists try to change in our history and our nation, I can only think of the early settlers fully dependent upon God. Harsh waters, harsh winters, harsh harvests, God provided, right? This is the God that we serve. But we live in a culture of entitlement. And it flips Thanksgiving on its head, right? If we approach God as those who think we deserve something from him, we're going to hate the God we made up in our mind because he's not going to give to entitled people. God wants us to be thankful people for what he provides. I mean, if we're entitled people, think about it, as Christians, if we follow the world's ways and think that we deserve something from God and from others, think of what we truly deserve, right? If God were to be fair and give us what we deserve, what would he give us? He would give us hell. He would send us to hell because that is what we deserve, right? We have rebelled against him. In our sin, we have gone the other way, and we deserve his wrath against us, but he does not give us what we deserve. He gives us what we don't deserve. He gives us the forgiveness of our sins. He gives us the mercy seen in the second person of the Trinity, Jesus himself, who took our sins on the cross in our place. He gives us what we don't deserve, right? We have to be different than the culture. We cannot have an entitlement mindset as the church. We have a thankful mindset. That's what we're called to. We thank God for giving us what we do not deserve. The psalmist has taken us through the cries of the people in their need to the provision of God, and he brings us to their response of thanksgiving. For those wandering in darkness and confusion, look at what happens to them. When God delivers them, look at verses 8 and 9. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Let us give thanks, right? He's rescued us from wandering. How about those in prison? Look at verses 15 and 16. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he breaks the gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron, right? How about those who were just living against the words of God, who were sick, addicted, afflicted, cried out to God and God delivered them? What's their response? Look at 21 and 22. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. How about those in the storm that cried out to God and God delivered them? What happened? Look at verses 31 and 32. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. Thanksgiving, thanksgiving, thanksgiving. This is what God has done. He's allowed the crisis, the storms, that we might respond to God with cries for help. He delivers us. We become thankful people, right? God is shaping us and making us into the image of his son. We respond with thanksgiving. Is your life marked with thankfulness, right? Is my life marked with thankfulness? How do we live in the midst of this culture which just expects more and more and more? Do we live countercultural? I mean, think about the countercultural life. It's just being thankful people to the God that we serve. It's so countercultural. Is thankfulness your response? Now, we have a lot to be thankful for, right? But think of the depth of what we're thankful for, of what God has done in Christ. Let me just read a couple verses to you. Colossians 1, 13 to 14, Paul wrote, "He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Thank you, God. Psalm 103, 11 to 12, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us." Thank you, God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God," right? Thank you, God. One more from Colossians, chapter 2, 13 to 15. "And you, and me, and all of us, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them." This is what Christ has done for us, right? For each of us that have taken faith in him, and our only response is to say, "Thank you, God, and now how can I live for you?" Because thankfulness looks like something, right? It looks like the response of "Thank you, God," but then it looks like action. "God, now how can I live in response to what you have done in my life?" Because Christ has taken up his cross to save us, we take up our cross and follow him, right? That's what we do. This is our response of thanksgiving to the God that we serve, the God that saved us, that has made us his people, and who is making us thankful people. Let's give thanks to our God. God, I thank you for the great salvation that you have given to us. Forgive us of our sin of grumbling. Forgive us of our sins of expecting what we think we deserve. Forgive us of our thoughts of unfairness, maybe jealousy, slander, whatever it might be, Lord God. Help us be thankful people, realizing that you have given us what we did not deserve, that you deliver us in our trials. And thank you for making us more and more like your Son. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Our offering this morning is for the Office of Social Justice. As the offering is taken, again, the notebooks will be passed. If you're visiting with us, please put your information in there. We'd like to get a hold of you this week as well.
Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 says, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Please join me in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you to praise you and thank you for your holiness, for the beauty of your creation, for the lives you have given us and the blessings you have provided. Let us always appreciate your goodness and mercy. Lord, we also pray for a deeper relationship with you. Help us to strive to honor and glorify you with our lives. Lord, we ask for forgiveness for our failings, our inadequacies, for our sins. Please forgive us and send your Spirit into our hearts. Let us be a light to the world through the lives we live and the work that we do in this church and when we leave here. We thank you for the opportunities to serve others through the food bank, through the missionaries we support, through the high school serve groups that are sent out each summer, and through our church educational programs and Bible studies. Lord, let us play our part in kingdom life. Encourage us to take your light into the darkness. May we be a testimony to your redeeming work in our lives and love beyond the fringes of our own small lives. Lord, we pray for those in our congregation who are sick and need an extra measure of your healing grace. We think especially of Breslin Hurt and pray that she can adjust her medication and treatments without side effects. We pray for complete healing for Steve Seaman, that the blood clot will dissolve and that he can fully recover. We thank you, Lord, that Scarlett Nickel was released from the hospital and is gaining strength. And we also thank you that Don Ryerkirk did not need another heart procedure. Lord, we especially ask for prayers for Pastor Al Kiper. Please heal his breathing difficulties and allow him to be released from the hospital. There are so many other requests we also have. Please grant healing to Shannon Jeffries, to Paul and LaVon Hammonds, to Jane Lyon, and Justin Vanderkirk. We ask for a special measure of comfort and peace for John and Brenda Coster as they mourn the loss of John's aunt. Lord, we also ask for wisdom for the council as we meet this Tuesday. Please be with the council members as they make decisions that will impact this body. Help them to follow your guidance. We thank you for the graduations we are celebrating this year. We thank you for seeing young people grow in the church and in their faith. Help us as a congregation to make a positive impact on their lives as they start a new chapter in their journey. Finally, Lord, we ask you to bring healing to this nation. Please raise Christian leaders up to serve in all offices so that your word can continue to be spread in our nation and throughout the world. Please bring renewal into our land so that we truly can be a Christian nation. All this we ask in thy name. Amen.
Because of the work of Christ, when we get to heaven, we're going to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," which ultimately points to what Jesus has done. And we have images, even in this life, of that "well done," right? And that's just my transition here to invite those that are graduating to stand so we could pray for you. Today is our graduation Sunday. We have an insert in the bulletin of those in 8th grade, 12th grade, and college. If you just stand up real quick, I'm not going to have you do anything, don't worry. Except for a special song individually. I'm just kidding. That's my ongoing joke, right? Well, we're proud of you all. I know we're missing some of the graduates here, but we're proud of you all. And let's just express our happiness with them all, right? And not to step on the toes of connection, but we have cake. I don't know if you wanted to say something real quick on that, Kevin? Or whatever? Come enjoy cake afterwards as we celebrate. All right, let me just offer a word of prayer, though, for those that have graduated. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for graduation times and seasons of life that we can mark in transition from one chapter to a next. Lord, and we know that ultimate chapter is when we transition from this life to life with you. But we thank you for these images, Lord, these glimpses of the changes you do in our life. We thank you for the graduates this morning, Lord, for Gabe, for Christian, for Amanda, for Brooke, for Becca, for Shannon, for Lisa and Brenda, and Kyle, Lord, and Micah. Lord, we thank you for these graduates. We thank you for the work that they've put in. success of their accomplishments. We thank you for the promise, Lord God, that you are with them, that you will finish what you've started in each of them and in their life as they pursue you and their occupations. Lord, bless these chapter changes, Lord. We thank you for these graduates, and we continue to pray, Lord, your blessing and wisdom for each of them, and we pray this in your name. Amen. All right, are there any announcements this morning?
Just real quick, we're going to have another session, I guess, of the After Worship Kids Club today. Went really well last week. I think we had 26 or 27 kids show up. Today, they're planning on meeting again in the Northwest classroom so the kids can go ahead and grab some cake and then come over there to eat it. And then I'm not sure if they're going to be outside or inside. They were planning on doing some sidewalk chalk, et cetera, outside, but that might change to Play-Doh and coloring inside if it's a little too cold. But anyway, so feel free to drop off kids approximately age, 3 to 8, in Northwest classroom after church. Thank you.
Okay, today at 3 o'clock, you're all welcome to come to my place for some shooting activities. Kids of all ages are welcome. There will be a safe spot about 200 yards away in a park, so no worries there. So everybody's welcome to come. If you don't know how to get there, just start heading south and turn before you hit Missouri. So if you need it, my number is 202-2284, and you can text me, and I'll get you my address and everything. So.
I didn't get it in the bulletin, the place for Becca's party, if you're interested in coming. It's today here at church from 5 to 8, so we'll be here. Food and the graduate, of course.
Any other announcements? All right, would you stand for the benediction? From the book of Numbers to the people of God, from God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Go in that peace.
Christ. My friends, may you grow.